We'd like to remind our listeners that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dope Content as a company. Furthermore, the content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as medical advice for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to consult with their healthcare professionals for personalized medical advice and treatment. Welcome back to BIPOC Access. This is your host, Creative Largic, Mark Thompson. And we are here today with our friend, Dr. Colleen Prendergast.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Perfect. And today we're going to be talking to her, highlighting her experience and background in chiropractic care. And we're also going to be touching on nutrition, what your body needs, things that you can utilize. And hopefully this starts a self-learning journey for you or makes you go and do a little bit more research to kind of learn about how your body works and the things that you can use to essentially bring it to a balance. So thank you for coming here today with us, Dr. Colleen. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you being in the studio. And please just give people an introduction to yourself. What it is that you do, and a little bit about your journey and what drew you into chiropractic care and then on to limitless healing.
Hi, thank you for having me. I apologize, my face is a little bit frozen because I went to the dentist this morning. Trying to keep my teeth healthy. All of it's part of the journey,
100%.
Keeping yourself healthy. So the question, how did I come about chiropractic? Well, I was an athlete. I used to run track when I was in high school. And it was thanks to a friend of mine who was on a rival track team, Andrea Ingleton. Shout out to Andrea. I would complain about an ankle injury that I had. I'd gone through all the steps of doing physio, but it was still bothering me. And being a hurdler, particularly, you have to carry all of your weight on one ankle. Right? So it was always an issue. And I had sprained my ankle playing basketball. I loved doing sports. And she told me to go see this lady. And I didn't even realize it was a chiropractor. Right? She just said, go see this lady. So I went. And that's when I discovered that she was a chiropractor. Went and saw her. And after the first visit, my ankle never felt the same. It was like, wow, my ankle feels better. After three visits, my ankle was feeling like it was back to new. Brand new. So I had always wanted to be a doctor. But once I discovered chiropractic, it took some time and I continually saw a chiropractor even once I went away to school in the US on my scholarship. And I would always come and see this lady when I came back to Toronto and decided to become a chiropractor. It fell in the scope of what I wanted to do of natural healing, being able to work with athletes because I wanted to be a pediatrician or sports medicine doctor. So being able to be a chiropractor allowed me to take care of children, take care of athletes, and do it all in the most natural way possible.
I remember kind of my own first experiences with a chiropractor into my mid to late 20s. And I still just remember feeling the neck crack. And like when my neck cracked, I just remember being like, wait a minute, I remember I used to have this range of motion. Like this, I just got used to essentially being in a constricted range of motion and it became my new normal.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I want to touch on here too, is can you share like a personal experience or anecdote that you've witnessed in terms of like the impact of stereotypes and stigmas on the perception of chiropractic care from either the BIPOC community or young people who aren't necessarily the first to know about chiropractors or to know that that's even one of the options they should be looking at in their health maintenance.
Absolutely. So as I went through this journey for myself, I didn't even know what a chiropractor was until I went to see one myself. And then as I went through, I would talk about seeing a chiropractor and some people didn't know about it while I was living in the US. And you'd think that most people would know, but I was living in Iowa. Although one of the first chiropractic schools to ever exist is in Iowa. And I didn't realize that about an hour or two away from where I was in Iowa City. It's called Palmer College, Chiropractic College. And the creator is a Canadian who went down to Iowa and created that school. And then it's expanded over time. But yeah, a lot of people knew about it. And then from Iowa, I went to France, where even more so when I first moved there, people I knew after a while, I was like, I need a chiropractor. And they didn't know. They had this image of, honestly, violence in treatment, because they heard about was this cracking. they don't realize that in chiropractic, there's so many different ways that we treat people. There's soft tissue, there's education, there's nutrition. So it's about displaying the myths to people. And that's one of the big things when you talk to patients, especially if they've never seen a chiropractor. And even, I found even patients that are used to seeing a chiropractor, I don't know what they were told or how they were informed. So in the beginning, I was like, oh, you've already seen one? Okay, so you know. And then I've learned over time in my years of working that no, each person that comes in, even if they know chiropractic, that they don't know chiropractic, or at least not necessarily the way I want them to know it. So I go as if they don't know anything, and I try and re-explain and get them to learn what it's about. But to answer your question about that, especially in France, this country, that country in particular, they are more used to osteopaths. There's a huge osteopathic population. And so a lot of people is like, oh, you want to see a chiropractor? You mean an osteopath? I'm like, no, a chiropractor. And so over the years of when I started going to school there and then working there, I've seen people come around. And it's about finding what works for you. What do you need at this moment in time? Depending on what you need, you could need an osteopath. There's like, you could need physio, you could need massage, or you need a chiropractor. And even within chiropractic is finding the person that works for you. Because in anything about your health and well-being, it's the energy, right? So I might work really well for you, Mark, while someone else might work better for someone else. So there's enough for everyone. It's just learning what it is you need, just like in anything in life. What are you looking for? What are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go with your health journey? Where are you at? And then finding the healthcare professional that's the right one for you.
For the audience as well that may just be new now to chiropractic care and also osteopathy, can you speak a little bit to like what the difference is between chiropractors and osteopaths?
That's an eternal question that you always have to ask. Answer, and people want to know, and it really depends, because like I said, once again, what one person's experience has been with chiropractic will be completely different than once they change practitioners. So on a whole, how the story goes is that chiropractic and osteopathy were created around the same time. It was two people that were on the same path, and eventually, so Daniel David Palmer is a creator of chiropractic. He went one way, and Andrew Still, the creator of osteopathy, went another way. So in its origins, osteopathy was tended to be more about fascia and soft tissue, whereas chiropractic was more about the structure. Today, where we're at, it's completely different. You still have those basics, but I work in soft tissue because I found that working only with the structure is not enough. And especially working with athletes, a lot of chiropractors worked only with the cervical spine or only on the spine, whereas I work a lot with the extremities as well, hips, ankles, wrists. And you get some people who don't. They only work with the spine. I've met osteopaths in France that adjust or crack, as some people say, the way a classical chiropractor would do, and others that are only soft tissue. So to really answer that question is difficult, but other than the history of it and the shifts that happened at one point, especially in the 80s, I believe it was, where there was a huge shift and the medical association attacked chiropractors and accused them of using the title of doctor illegally. Chiropractors fought back, and then they won their lawsuit and was allowed to use the title of doctor. So now we have scopes of things we're allowed to do and not to do, whereas osteopaths never got that same structure and title. And even in France, when we went through the fight of what we were allowed and the laws were written of what we were allowed to do, we were all put in the same bundle. And then we fought to be separated based on international laws and agreements. And we were able to extirp ourselves from that, and we're allowed to do things that they're not allowed to do in Europe. So it's more a question of where you're at, the laws, but the basis was soft tissue work for osteopaths and more of a structural work for chiropractors. But like I said, it's highly evolved.
Well, we appreciate that. And I guess one of the questions that we also had for you, you were speaking earlier on how you had been an athlete yourself. You were a runner, and I know that you've also worked with professional athletes as well now within your field of medicine. Professional athletes, they often face intense physical demands and injuries, and their essentially recovery is a huge part of their not only personal well-being, but their essential, like their financial stability. So one of the questions I had for you is like, if you could speak to, do you find it more difficult to work with athletes? Do you find athletes have a better understanding of their body through the intense training, or kind of what is that? Like, what's the difference do you find between working with an athlete versus working with a general member of the public?
That's a good question. I want to say, because I have colleagues that don't want to work with athletes because they say they demand too much. But I like that demand, maybe because I ran and I saw the difference it made. I had a year where I had chiro treatments once a week and massage treatments once a week. And if I didn't have that, I don't know how I would have made it through that year of university and competing. But that being said, yes, they're very demanding athletes, but at the same time, they know their bodies. And if they have a goal, they are more apt to do the things that you ask them to do because they know where they want to go. They know what they want their body to do. So it can be fun to work with them. Also, when you do something, because their body's so fine-tuned, you tend to see results quicker. You know, it's like you take a fine-tuned car, you do that slight adjustment, and right away the car starts humming, right? It's this kind of the same thing. But when you get the everyday person, as we call them, you can get people who have a mentality of an athlete, and they're coming in with a desire to be better. Unfortunately, sometimes when we get those patients, they've tried everything, so they can be also just as demanding because of their pocketbook, because of just being fed up of being in pain. So they want to get better as quick as possible. So that can be a challenge as well. But I just like working with everybody. I just want to see people get better. But I have my preference. I'm not going to lie with athletes just because of that, just because I saw how it helped me. I see every day how it helps athletes, how they get better. Even with the younger athletes, my goal is really to teach them to do things and prevent injuries and not wait until they get an injury, right? And also to understand their body so that when they get that injury, deal with it right away. And that's what I talk to a lot of my patients about all the time, whether it be the high-level athlete or the everyday person, is that don't let the fire smother until it explodes in your face, because then it's a lot harder to put out that five-alarm fire than it would be to put out that low-level start, that smoke, you know. So always just deal with things right away. I think that works with everything, finances, health.
100%. Deal with the problem early before it becomes a bigger problem.
Exactly.
One of the questions, too, that I wanted you to kind of give us are, like, what growing up, even if it's from your before you became a chiropractor or before you came to care, like, what are some of the common stereotypes or myths that you've heard about chiropractors or cracking, et cetera, that you could address to our audience? And they may have heard as well, and now they can kind of have that stereotype destroyed.
So we can start with, I call it the doom and gloom paper. So before any treatment starts, we usually have patients sign a consent form. When you look at the form, sometimes you ask, why would you stay after that, right? So it's just kind of let people know there's no more danger with chiropractic than you would with any form of treatment. Especially when you take medication, we've been told that, you know, this is normal. But no, if we take the time and look at a list that's on medication, we need to take them. But you're also taking it with a level of risk behind it, right? So anything worth having has a little bit of a risk. But it's not, I'm not going to break your neck. That's one of the stereotypes you hear. Oh, you hear this noise, it's going to break my neck. If it doesn't crack, we haven't done anything. No. There's so many ways to work without necessarily hearing those cracking noises. It's painful. Yes and no. Not everything is painful. There are certain areas of the body that can be more sensitive than others, but on a whole, it's not something that's going to leave you with pain and paralyze you. And those are all the stereotypes that you hear. And that brings me to a lot of the YouTube videos you see nowadays where I'm a little I don't know. It's good because people can see some of the things that are happening and demystify what's going on. But at the same time, some of it, I have to admit, if I looked at that and saw that done that way, I'd be freaking out as well. So how much information is too much information at one point in terms of video without having proper explanations behind it, right?
And I think that's one of the keys too, and you kind of touched on it already as well, is the fact that like you do an assessment when somebody first comes in.
Yeah.
You're watching a YouTube video, which is based on the context of another individual, but when somebody comes to doctor's care,
mm-hmm.
that doctor is going to assess them, and now this is going to be based upon their individual situation and where they're at in their journey. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty sometimes and fear and things that people haven't experienced before, but until you take that opportunity to go and see that person or to go and experience that thing, like that's the only time you're really going to be able to have a full picture and make a informed decision on
Absolutely.
How you're going to proceed.
Exactly.
And to that point, I wanted to see if you could also speak a bit to like insurance, because many people don't recognize that within their employment, et cetera, that they have group benefit policies or group mm-hmm. health insurance policies. So like at your practice, for example, at Limitless, do you take insurance? Can people come in? Is that a way that they can pay to not essentially
yes.
come fully out of pocket to get chiropractic care?
Absolutely. So I'm going to take it one step back as just to finish off with one of the myths, is that also the one that I hear all the time, which is probably the most frustrating. And I get it, because unfortunately we do have some colleagues that do that, but it's also, oh, once you start, you can't stop. Right? And so they are afraid that once they start chiropractic care, they're going to have to be in it for life. Personally, the way I try to treat and explain to my patients is that I don't want to see you. I do want to see you, but once or twice a year. And once again, as you mentioned, and you touched on the assessment, what might be for you, you can easily go to once or twice a year. Someone else, they have injuries that, whether it be me or physiotherapy, they have to be able to do it regularly to maintain their health, because they've let it go too far, or they've had an injury, or they've had an accident. But for the average person, I try to encourage them and educate them so that they do the things they need to do daily, so that you're only coming to me, like I said, 2-3 times a year, once a year, depending on what your level of injury or activity level is. And I always describe it as a car. Why do you take your car to go get an oil change once every 3 months or so? Because it's maintenance. You got to keep the body going. Why do we keep eating? Why do we drink water? It's all the same thing. But if you do what you're supposed to do, then you don't need to see me as often. When you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you have to see me more often. But my goal is to get you to a point where you don't have to. So that myth about, oh, once you start, it's forever and you got to keep going, that's not entirely true. So to go back to your question about billing, exactly that, you're right. A lot of people don't realize that they're paying for this insurance. So they have it and they're not using it. And certain companies have quite a bit, actually. A lot of big companies, they don't, like I said, people don't realize that they're paying for it and they don't use it. And you need to take care of your health, even if it's just for a massage. Some people have $1,000 or $1,500 worth of massage. Why would you not use that? And for each member of the family, it's something that that is necessary and good for keeping a flow of toxins. It's just, and like I said, you're paying for it. I think sometimes people get caught up on the supplement that they have to pay. For example, if they have treatment and they have to pay $10 out of their pocket, it's okay. $10 is nothing compared to $90 massage, and you're getting 80 covered. It's $10. We got to start putting things into perspective. When we look at what we're going to pay and stand out in line for the latest pair of shoes, I won't start naming names, but we do it all the time. Or for recent concerts that are coming up where people are going crazy to be on wait lists to go out and pay for them exorbitant amounts of money, but you can't pay $10, or sometimes it's $6.50 difference for a treatment that's going to make you feel better. So I think people need to, we got to reevaluate, just like in anything. Once again, it's a life thing. How are we reevaluating family life, finances, health? It all comes down to the same thing. What is important for us? And these are some of the questions I'm starting to ask patients, actually. It's funny that you ask. We get on this topic because I'm realizing I need to know what it is you want and what it is you're looking for ahead of time, because then that way it comes to a point where either I can say, you know what, it's not going to work. This is a relationship that's not going to work. Or I can explain to you how it's going to work in order to get to where you want to get for your goals, whether it be in treatment. And also so people understand how long it's going to take for them to get better. Because when they don't get better in the snap of a finger, sometimes people get frustrated. But you have to remember, you've been carrying this for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. If I can start making people feel better at the snap of a finger, I probably wouldn't be here and I'd be super rich and I'd be living in an island somewhere very far, far, far away.
Only taking care of the trillionaires.
No, but really, it's the, and we all have to put that in perspective. And I think it's this new wave generation of social media that makes us want everything instantaneously, our health, our finances, everything. And even I have to catch myself. I'm human just like everybody else. And just remember that whatever time it took you to get here, you need at least minimum half to equivalent amount of time to get somewhere else or where you're going. And you have to ask yourself, are you willing to make the sacrifice to get there? That means stop eating that sugar at 10 o'clock at night and getting up to go for a walk and getting your son in the morning. All those little things, they all add in. And I've seen it sometimes. I explain to patients, they're like, oh, yeah, oh, okay, but you can't now get mad at me because you're not getting better. We all have to take accountability.
100%. And one of the things that I find, too, that may not be as prevalent within the communities, not necessarily the communities, but I find with the older generations, just speak a little bit about the importance of that aftercare maintenance, like talk to the importance of stretching.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it just comes back to what I just said. You need to do those little things. Get your water. Get up and walk. Not everyone can go out or desires to go out and do a 5K every day. I know I'm not doing a 5K. Or not everybody wants to lift weights, or not everybody, you know, but it's not even about exercise to a certain extent anymore. It's about movement, right? The body was made to move. They even now in research, they're starting to show that sitting is the new smoking. We just spend too much time sitting in a chair, especially unfortunately after COVID, and we're not moving. The body needs to flow. The body needs to move, and even just simple moving. If you look at some of the ancient cultures and the different areas, like they move, and it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. We have to move. You have to do your exercises. You have to eat. Forget the supplements and all the other stuff. Just basic things. Get your water, move, get your sunlight.
Speak about that a bit too, though. So what is it in the movement? What is it that essentially... So you said like our body needs to move. What is the structure or what's happening internally that essentially makes that so important to our process?
It's a move it or lose it. So really, so if you take, for example, I'll use the example of women. All of us, after we reach a certain age, we're not making as much bone, or we're not as we used to, right? We start to destroy more bone than we create bone at around 30 years old, the decline, even a little bit before, but around 30. But because you're exercising or moving or doing things, your body says, okay, I need to create because I need it. So as you get older, and especially for women with hormonal changes, we're not making as much bone as we used to. But like I said, if you're moving, you're doing things, the body says, oh, well, I need it. So I have to make it. The body is quite intelligent. It learns how to adapt, if we allow it to what we need. And if we're in tune with our body, it often tells us what we need, but we're too busy looking around doing other things, right? So when we move, blood flows, okay? So it pushes out, even in our lymphatic system, waste. When we stagnate, it sits, right? That's why on the plane, I'll advise my patients to pump their legs if they can't get up and walk around. So if you ever see me on a plane, I'm that weirdo that's walking up and down the plane at night, especially in long flights, because I can't sit. My legs feel heavy and I don't feel good. So we're made to move blood, move lymph, and that's what keeps us healthy. When things stagnate in one area, that's where sickness sits. So So we need to move. And like I said, the body knows. It's not going to waste time creating something that you're not using. So it just doesn't do it. Look at when you're wearing a cast, right? You wear that cast, you take that cast off of, and we're talking 2 weeks. Like after wearing a cast 2 weeks, you can see a decrease in your muscle mass. It's huge. Once again, you're not using it. The body's not going to waste time. There's no blood flow the way it used to be. They're not creating it to do what you need to do.
As we conclude part one of our conversation with Dr. Colleen Prendergast, we've only just scratched the surface of her captivating journey. In part two, Dr. Prendergast takes us on a journey through her experience living in Paris, France. She shares insights into her education abroad and the vibrant BIPOC community she encountered. Discover how her time in Europe shaped her perspective and influenced her approach to chiropractic care and holistic healing. Join us for the next episode as we delve deeper into her expertise in chiropractic care, sports performance, and nutrition. Learn how Dr. Prendergast stays updated with the latest advancements in her field and her dedication to continuous learning. Don't miss out on the next installment of the BIPOC Access podcast, where we continue our insightful journey. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dope Content as a company. Furthermore, the content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as medical advice for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to consult with their healthcare professionals for personalized medical advice and treatment.